Wow. Which everyone seems to be recognizing me as these days.
Well, sure. You were the first Catwoman.
Marion, I don't know if I was the first one or not, because I was not in America when they started shooting that Batman series for television. But I enjoyed doing that character.
Well, there's so much that you've done, and I know people love to hear life stories, and so I found it so fascinating that you came from South Carolina, but it sounds as if you had a really rough time as a child, and then you were shipped off to live with an aunt. I mean, did you have really a rotten time down there in South Carolina?
Yes, because you're not the right color. You're not black enough to be black, and you're not white enough to be white, and they call you a yellow gal, and they make fun of you. Oh, and you're God. Given away by, I was given away by my mother because she wanted to marry a black man who said, I don't want that yellow gal in my house because he already had 5 or 6 children or something like that.
My God, how terrible.
Well, that's the way it was in those days. Yeah. And you get given to a family, a black family who had teenage children who sort of use you as a toy in any form or fashion that they felt desirous of.
So then you went to Harlem, but it seems like you probably became street smart in a hurry there, because then you joined Katherine Dunham. Wasn't that your first actual job with the dance?
Yes, in the entertainment world, yes. I did it as a joke. I had no intention of getting into show business.
Really?
As a matter of fact, I'm kind of thinking if I was to decide what it is that I would like to be, actually, I wouldn't know what it would be, except I think I like teaching very much, because I think I'm very much into philosophy and all of the books that I have read on philosophy, such as the Greek philosophy and the Oriental philosophy. Basically, it's actually Christianity, and the philosophy of the thinkers are basically do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And if you live a decent life and you pass that decency of your lifestyle onto others around you, you won't have any problems, really, in life with yourself with the relationships.
Have you done any teaching?
I teach sometimes dancing. I've done that here in New York, and I've done it in Australia. And it's fun to do body movement for the stage, particularly. I used to do that for James Dean, body language for the stage. If I was home more often than I am at the moment, I think I would start that again. I used to do it at the Singers Forum here with Andy Anselmo and that organization of his, which I liked very much.
Isn't that wonderful for kids? I mean, that's great to have somebody like you guide them, get them started.
Well, I get a lot of fan mail to ask me to teach them, teenagers as well as young kids, because I did a lot of that for the young kids in Watts, in Los Angeles. That's where I have this Kittsville organization.
Oh, what's it called?
Kittsville. Kittsville.
Fantastic. Well, you have children of your own, do you?
I only have one child. I'm a grandmother, so now I could say I've got two children.
You have had a very beautiful daughter who is a model.
Well, she was a model. Now she's very busy being a mother and also taking care of the kids' projects.
Oh, my goodness.
So she's working for her mother now.
Now, back to your earlier life, it sounds so glamorous. Orson Welles became very fascinated with you and put you into a show of his.
Yes, and everybody seemed to think it was a love affair. It was not a love affair. It was artistic attraction.
No, I didn't necessarily think that.
Well, not you, Marion, but every time somebody mentions Orson Welles and Eartha Kitt, and he says she's the most exciting woman in the world, people believe that I was having an affair with this man. I was a very young girl. And people like Orson Welles, Ruby Rosa, and all of those terribly international personalities.
Oh, Ruby Rosa, the playboy.
Yes, but they had tremendous respect for very young girls to whom they just wanted to be seen with, because I was becoming a name in France at the time. So there was no love affair. I worked with these people. And Orson was a very exciting man to work with. He scared the devil out of me, but he was very exciting to work with.
Well, look at the things he's done. I mean, I would think it was great to be in any project of his. Good heavens, the man was such a genius.
Yes.
Did you ever play in the Mars Club in Paris?
We used to go there to sing a song for a hamburger.
Oh, really?
I wasn't actually contracted for that place.
I just heard of it. I never was in there.
Yeah, that was one of the places where we American kids used to go and get something that tasted like America. We couldn't afford to buy a hamburger, so we sang a song. And I think one of the songs I sang there was God Bless the Child that
Oh, couldn't we do that today?
Yeah. Oh, yes. You want to do that now?
Yes, I would love to.
Is it? No, I hope I remember the words.
All right.
Them that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Rich relations give a touch of bread and such. You can help yourself, but don't take too much. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Money, you've got lots of friends hanging round your door. But when it's gone and the spending ends, they don't come round no more. Yes, rich relations give a touch of bread and such. You can help yourself, but don't take too much. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Then I could get a hamburger.
You can have one now if you want. No, that's such a, oh, that's a great tune. I mean, it says so much, and it's such a beautiful melody.
Yes. It's
I don't know where that started. Was it, did Billie Holiday do it first, or did you do it?
I don't know. Billie Holiday was long before my time, and that I heard her record on the streets of Harlem when I was a kid. So she must have been the first to do it. I think she had something to do with writing it as well.
Yeah, I think her name is on it, and then a guy named Arthur Herzog wrote the lyric. Mm. Well, that's a great song. So then after that period, then you came back to New York. Orson Welles brought you back. And then
no,
you wrote...
William Morris brought me back.
Oh, okay.
William Morris heard about me after I became a name in Europe.
In Europe.
Between Paris is where I actually started. Mm-hmm. Then I got a contract to go to Istanbul because the Tavel and Marawani, which was a subsidiary office of William Morris, came to me one day and said, Eartha, would you like to go to Turkey? I said, oh, Turkey, Turin Bay. That's the only thing I knew about Turkey. And flying carpets and things that I had seen in the movies. So I said, oh, well, I didn't have a family or anything to say yes or no to. So I went, and I was looking for, like Diogenes, constantly in search of knowledge.
Must have been an exciting place at that time. I mean, I think it would have been nicer than now, probably. I went last year to play, but you know, I didn't see much of the city. You probably did.
Yes, I saw quite a lot of it, because I was only supposed to be there for 2 weeks. And I think something like 6 months later, I was still in Istanbul, because I started in a place called Caravanserai. And I was only singing in French, German, English, and Spanish. And they wanted me to sing in Turkish. And, of course, they said she would never be able to learn anything in Turkish because the Western language people will never be able to pronounce the words Turkish in the Turkish language.
Which
so this lady who had seen me opening night, and she thought I was the most beautiful thing in the world, And she took me home with her. Her husband was the Admiral of the Navy, and her son, who just came to me just a few months ago in London, as a matter of fact. I think he was something like 9 or 10 or 12 years old when I first went to his house with his mother. And I saw him standing in the doorway at the top of the stairs whenever I went there. And when I saw him just a few months ago in London, he's now the Turkish ambassador or something or the other.
Oh, my goodness.
And all of these years, yes, this man comes and says, I was 10 years old when you first came to my house, and now I am the ambassador of something or the other. You know, we all turn out to be rather important around the world. And his mother stayed up all night long and taught me, Ushkudara gidariken aldada biryamura, kyatabame sedrizi uzun ete ijamura, kyatabame sedrizi uzun ete ijamura, kyatibu yukudan uyan mishagazaleri mahmura, kyatibu yukudan. I mean, this is the song that RCA Victor released as my introduction to the United States, as I say in the
Did
show.
Did you say something? I seem to remember you saying that somebody said that you would never sell records with that song.
Yes, R.C. Victor said that. To prove to them that I would never sell a record, they issued this song to introduce me to the American world, you know.
But it was a hit, wasn't it?
It was a tremendous hit. They were so shocked that this record sold.
They don't know.
Well, of course they don't know. This, just like now, they don't know that what is going to be a hit.
No.
But I think the business has gotten, talking about what is going on today, in very many ways, it's gotten so technical that now you can press a button and be a star overnight. But actually what you do out there on the stage is what you learn to endure in the business and be a stable personality in the business. There's still some wonderful artists who are in the business, but I think that the real artists, those who are creative artistically, well, for what we think of on our side of the interpretation of the entertainment world, artistic endeavors, you know, rather than using a lot of fireworks and going up in balloons and things like that. But that's part of the business, too. And the crotch holders, I think, are the ones who are making the money.
Yeah.
But it's a part of the business, so you can't complain. You just have to find a way to fit in there somewhere and stick to your own creative endeavors.
Well, I don't want to hear you doing a rap song, that's for sure.
Well, I did one last night. I said,
Listen,
Marianne, that was the one that made a hit for me. It came in a gold record.
It wasn't really. I heard you say that, but it wasn't really a rap song. It was.
No, it was not a rap song.
I wish I could play that.
I don't want to be alone. Where is my baby? Come on, Marianne, you've got to get with it.
I'm like, go ahead. Now I got the key.
I don't want to be alone. Where is my baby? I don't want to be alone, where is my man? I keep hanging by the phone, where is my baby? I chew my fingers to the bone, where is my man? Not just that lip. My list of needs is really quite brief. I need a man who can bring me relief from all the stress and strains of the day with just a tiny stroll through Cartier. I need a man who can take me and taunt me and make me buy the thing that I so richly deserve. A man who knows that I require, has the thing that I desire. Is there anyone out there you have the nerve? Now go back to the chorus. I don't wanna be alone. Where is my baby? Wow. I don't wanna be alone. Where is? You see how simple it is? Yeah, you go on. It's your turn. I don't wanna be alone, where is my baby? I don't wanna be alone, where is my man? I keep hanging by the phone, where is my baby? I chew my fingers to the bone, where is my man? and you're with it now.
Well, you know, you just point me the way to go, and I'll go there.
That was fun.
Yeah, that's fun. I know I don't have all this in chronological order. You did work. You worked in a movie with Nat Cole, one of my all-time favorites. Wasn't he one of yours too?
Yes.
Don't you love that man?
Oh, I love that man. I don't think anyone has ever come up to being the kind of talent that man has. I don't care whom you have out there. Nat King Cole was not only a fantastic artist vocally, jazz pianist wise, and he was such a gentleman.
I know.
You don't find those kind of people all in one body anymore.
No,
I wish the devil that we still had those kind of people around now.
Well, did you do songs with him? I mean, the film was what?
St. Louis Blues.
St. Louis Blues. Well, that must have been something you had sung in that movie, didn't you?
Well, I had not been singing it as a part of my repertoire, no. And then I started using it after that because RCA Victor recorded the soundtrack of that film. But the version that I sang in the film, to me, was one of the best things I've ever done because it was with something like a 60-some-odd piece orchestra.
Oh.
And the arranger, it was not Billy Mays. It was someone else who always, and I see his face right now, but I can't think of his name.
Not Nelson Riddle.
I think it was Nelson Riddle.
God, you'd have the best strings in the whole world.
Oh, yes, I think it was Nelson Riddle.
Yes.
Because it was very symphonically done.
Oh, yeah.
It was so beautiful, and it was at the end of the film. I think RCA Victor should have released that as a single record. But they wanted me to stay in that bracket of pop music. I think it was a mistake for them not to have released it, or at least keep it in the album.
You want to do a piano and voice symphonic arrangement of that?
Well, if I can remember the words. Okay, let's see where you are. St. Louis woman with a diamond ring pulls my man around by her apron string. If it wasn't for powder and a store-bought hair, that man of mine wouldn't have gone nowhere, nowhere. I got the St. Louis blues, just as blue as I can be. That man's got a heart like a rock cast in the sea. Or else he wouldn't have gone away from me. St. Louis woman with a diamond ring pulls my man around by her apron string. If it wasn't for powder and a store-bought hair, that man of mine wouldn't have gone nowhere. I got the St. Louis blues, just as blue as I can be. That man's got a heart like a rock cast in the sea. Or else he wouldn't have gone away from me. Lionel Hampton was in to see the show the other night at the Carlisle.
Oh, was he?
Yes.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah, I do too. He was very good to me when I was a kid, living here in New York, I just joined the Katharine Dunham School, and I was in training to be one of her dancers. And I was living on $10 a week, and $5 was paying rent, and $5 was to buy food. So I lived on a glass of milk and maybe a hot dog, sometimes if I could afford it, a hamburger. But I tried to keep myself to the simple, nourishing foods as possible. And once in a while he came along and he heard what us dancing. It was Othello Struzzi and myself living in a place on 43rd Street someplace. And he paid the rent. We didn't even know anything about it until some time later. Yeah, that was very nice of him to have done.
Yeah, he's quite a guy.
Yeah.
I guess you people are all listening avidly to what's going on here with my guest, Eartha Kitt. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. Tell me about the thing that happened with Lady Bird Johnson. I mean, that was blown out of all proportions. The luncheon at the White House, can you tell me about that?
Well, I think that the general American public did not know what happened, because the story that came out of the White House was the way President Johnson wanted it to be read and seen and felt by the American people. And the general public thought that I had been invited there to sing songs. That is not the case. That was not the case. I was invited along with 49 other women who work in the different communities of the United States, and in my case, working with young people, particularly juvenile delinquents, whom I try to have them become better citizens and better members of the community. And because of the work I had been doing across the country, was found out by Hubert Humphrey. Hubert Humphrey reported it to President and Mrs. Johnson, and that was the question of the day. Why is there so much juvenile delinquency in the streets of America? We were there to give our opinions. The thing that the boys had told me, who had fled the United States, who were against our involvement in Vietnam, who spoke to me in different areas of the world, I came back to America after listening to these boys that said, we do not believe in our involvement in Vietnam. It does not mean that we do not love our country. But we cannot go along with that particular project of the United States. When I came back to America, I looked up some of the mothers and parents of these children who felt the same way. And I felt the same way. What are we doing there? It's an unwinnable war, such and such and such. When I was given the floor after raising my hand, and Mrs. Johnson gave me the floor to give my opinions about the problematical situations we were going through in the United States at that time, one of the main problems was that our young boys felt if they were bad boys, like having a little stigma against your name, you were not considered desirable enough to go to Vietnam. If you were a good guy, then, of course, you were chosen to go to Vietnam. And I told this to Mrs. Johnson. Not only that, but we supposedly fought the war with Germany, and we supposedly won it. We fought the war with Japan. We supposedly won it. But they got our jobs. You're depleting the country, you're weakening the country from the inside by taking our industry away from us, and we are now scrambling, looking for work, and trying to find out how we can survive in our own country. We are angry in many ways, and if this continuously goes on, where you're building up Japan economically, building up Germany economically, they're becoming stronger than we are, you're going to have a lot of problems in this country, because we are angry.
You said all this.
Yes.
And then there was an uproar, a furor about that.
Well, within 2 hours, it says on my dossier that was part of it was given to me by Seymour Hersh of the New York Times when he and Jack Anderson were investigating, you know, behind-the-scenes isms of the politicians of this country. They called me in 1974, January of 1974. I remember it very clearly. And they were reading this because they wanted me to give them permission to print what they had found. I was listening on the telephone, and Marianne, I didn't even know if I should be crying or laughing. I said, this is my country, my free democratic world, that I was given the IOU promises that no matter what you are, where you came from, or what kind of circumstances you were born into or out of or whatever, what kind of nationality you are, if you are American, you can make it in this country. I did, and they punished me. Not only that, you tell the truth when you're asked this specific question, you tell them the truth, and you get your face slapped. Whatever happened to freedom of speech?
Well, they actually made you leave the country, didn't they, because of that? I mean, you were sort of banned, or you went to work in Europe after that.
I couldn't find work in America.
Isn't that terrible?
Mary, you know, there was a situation in London, because I have been in London quite often, doing Follies, for instance, and then I did my own one-woman show there. There was a debate on radio about Cole Porter, Gershwin, and so forth and so on. And they had on Marilyn Monroe singing My Heart Belongs to Daddy. Then they had on someone else, I think it was Martin. What is her name? Mary Martin. Yes. Singing My Heart Belongs to Daddy. I saw her.
Oh, everybody doing their version of the
yes.
song? How interesting.
And then they said, this was the commentator, I loved him. Still this day, I don't remember his name, but I do remember him saying, but the best version, and I'm quite sure, was Cole Porter.
Yes.
The best version that Cole Porter would have accepted was Eartha Kitt's rendition of My Heart Belongs to Daddy. It's because it's very, very innocent.
We can do that.
Childlike. I'll go back to my I Want to Be Evil days.
All right. Yeah,
you can leave the right tempo. While tearing off a game of golf, I may make a play for the caddy. But when I do, I don't follow through. 'Cause my heart belongs to Daddy. If I invite some boy some night to dine on my fine Finan Hattie, I just adore his asking for more. 'Cause my heart belongs to Daddy. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. So I simply couldn't be bad. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. Da 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 da. Yeah. I want to warn you, laddie, though I think you're perfectly swell, but my heart belongs to Daddy. 'Cause my daddy, he treats it so well. To warn you, laddie, though I think you're perfectly swell, but my heart belongs to Daddy, 'cause my daddy, he treats it so well. Terribly innocent.
Oh, sure. I'd love to do one for you. You're getting me inspired. You know what I would love to play as a duke tune? I used to enjoy having him hang out at the Hickory House all the time. And And I love to play his tunes anyway. One of my favorites is one you did last night, Solitude. So how about that?
Can I play that? Yes, please. It's a beautiful tune. I absolutely love that.
All right, here goes. Thank you. You know, Billy Strayhorn and Duke Ellington are so sort of intertwined because some of them, they would write a song together, but then, I mean, I think one of the best songs ever written is Lush Life by Billy Strayhorn.
I agree with you.
It's just the most original. You probably sing the heck out of that.
Well, I did have it in the repertoire at one time, because also it was one of the songs that I used to sing for a hamburger in Paris. But sometimes it gets a little bit morbid, you know, it depends on the rest of the program, of course. But I get very wrapped up in that song when I have sung it.
Well, you can, because it's sort of a sad, rather tragic song about somebody who's finding that they're having such a tough life, and it's... A lot of people identify with that song.
Yeah, it's timeless. It's a timeless song. It can be
well,
any time.
Maybe you can do your brand new version of it.
Ah,
now.
You mean you're going to test me to see if I remember the words?
I'm going to test you, and I'm going to test myself to see if I can accompany you properly.
I used to visit all the very gay places, those come what may places, where one relaxes on the axis of the wheel of life, to get the feel of a life from jazz and cocktails. The boys I knew had sad and sullen gray faces, those come what may traces that used to be there. You could see where they'd been washed away by too many through the day. 12 o'clock tales. Then you came along with your siren song to tempt me to madness. I thought for a while that your poignant smile was tinged with the sadness of a great love for me. Ah, yes, I was wrong. Again, I was wrong. Life is awful. Again, a trawful of tears could only be a bore. Now life is awful. Again, a trawful of tears can only be a bore. A week in Paris could ease the bite of it. All I want is to smile in spite of it. I'll forget you, I will, while yet you are still burning inside my brain. Romance is mush, stifling those who strive. I live a lush life in some small dive. And there I'll be while I rot with the rest of those whose lives are lonely too.
Song. Now we've got to get you back into a different kind of a song after that. Goodness, now we've got to get you into, oh, what have we got here?
Night and day.
Okay.
You are the one.
All right, you want to do not that tempo.
Okay, let's get into a groove here, Marion.
But a good groove.
You set the mood and I'll go along with you.
All right.
You are the one, only you beneath the moon and under the sun. Whether near to me or far, it's no matter, darling, where you are, I'll think of you. Night and day, night and day, under the hide of me. There's an oh such a hungry yearning burning inside of me. In the magic tropic boom, in the silence of my lonely room, I'll think of you. Night and day, day and night. Why is it so that this longing for you follows wherever I go? In the magic of your lonely room, or the silence of the traffic in the New York City, I'll think of you. Night and day, night and day, night and day, night and day. Boom.
Terrific. You know, I've just got to tell you what key you have me in there, F sharp. It's good. It's got good vibes. It's a better key than F. It makes me feel good.
But sometimes I have the musicians tell me that too, that certain keys that one sings in or plays in, no matter what the instrument, some are very groovy and they make you feel more emotionally or happily about whatever it is.
It's true, because you get different vibrations with different keys, and that has more, like, more color to it than F does. So I thought, well, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to stay there. If she's going to sing an F sharp B, that's fine. For all you listeners out there, we're having a very exciting time in here with my guest, Eartha Kitt. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. So now let's see what else we can find in here, and or things that I didn't ask you about, like new records and the movie. You did a movie with Eddie Murphy?
Yes, called Boomerang.
That was recent, wasn't it?
Yes, and I did a bedroom scene, wow.
With Eddie Murphy?
Yes, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun making the film.
It must have been, no, like you interacted and everything for the scene. It was sort of like a comedy scene. What did you play? Lady Eloise?
Lady Eloise, who owns a cosmetics business. Oh, yes, the scenes we did together were, I thought, were terribly funny. But they call it the famous bedroom scene because, you know, I was very skimpily dressed. And this 60-some-odd-year-old woman is, you know, doing her thing with somebody like Eddie Murphy. And that it was quite an experience, shall we say.
What's new? What's coming up?
I love the way you get off the subject, Marion.
Well, I figured I'd better introduce the new material.
I am debating now as to what I should do. I have offers to go to Germany for a month in Frankfurt at a place called the Grossen Opera, or to go to Australia. I go to New Zealand in June with my musicians. Then I would like very much to do something that will keep me home more often. Now that I have a little family that I've never had before, I would like to spend my older, maturing years with my daughter and her son and her husband.
The way you're going on stage, I can't see you spending your maturing years doing anything but doing what you were doing at the Carlisle and jumping about and dancing and laughing. It's such a cheerful act. There's a lot of laughing in that you do all the time. It's wonderful.
Thank you. I love my work, and I love the interplay between the audience and myself, and that's what makes it fun. And as long as I'm enjoying myself in my work, I see no reason why I should do anything else. I've been working all my life anyway. So it's not a matter of saying I want to retire. I just want to be more at home in one place and work from the United States, closer to my base here in New York, and enjoy my daughter and her little family.
That's nice.
Something I've never had.
Oh, it's terrific. Well, what have we got in the way of a song here? We've got such a list of lovely songs. You'd be so nice to come home to. Smoke Gets in Your Eyes.
That's one of my favorite, is Smoke Gets in Your
Eyes. Oh, let's do that. Let's do that.
Which nobody does, because they say that song is very rangy. No, the octaves.
Well, it is. Mm.
Well, let's see if I can make it this morning.
Let's see. Well, wait a minute. I'm beginning to sort of know where your range might be.
Well, let's try that in the key of F.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Asked me how I knew my true love was true, I've of course replied, something here inside cannot be denied. Said someday you'll find all who love are blind. So I smile and say, when a lovely flame dies, smoke gets in your eyes. I chaffed them, and I gaily laughed to think they could doubt my love. Yet today, my love has flown away. I am without my love. Now, laughing tears deride, tears I cannot hide. So I smile and say, when a lovely flame dies, smoke gets in your eyes. So I chaffed them, and I gaily laughed to think they could doubt my love. Yet today, my love has flown away. I am without my love. Now, laughing friends deride, tears I cannot hide. So I smile and say, when a lovely flame dies, smoke gets in.
That's a pretty difficult song to say, to sing.
It's a wonderful song. I don't know where I learned that. I learned so many tunes from the BBC before I ever came over here, and that was one of them. And, you know, I've never seen the music. I just heard them.
Mm.
And I always thought that was one of the great songs. But it's funny that it's not that rangy.
Yes, but nobody seems to sing it as readily as I think it should be sung, because it's such a classic.
You know, I just remembered somebody did it as sort of a pop rock. Patty Austin did it. Mm. And it was rather nice,
mm-hmm.
done in that style. But it should be done more. Maybe you'll make, because of your doing it, you'll make people bring it back.
Yeah, well, thinking about doing an album from the Carlisle.
You should. How wonderful.
To do some old songs like that. But it's... I have to really go into the libraries of the music world and find good romantic songs like that. Because I think we're getting a little bit tired of the chunku chunku chunk, you know, the balloons going in the air.
Oh, Jesus.
And the noise, as I said, it's a place for all of us, but there should be much more of a balance music-wise than there is out there now.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. I'm thinking of songs right now, These Foolish Things. I bet you do that one, don't you?
These foolish things remind me of you. I haven't been doing so many of those kind of songs, but because I have to actually have about, I would say, half of my repertoire has got to be amusing songs.
Oh, of course.
The Cole Porter, the Gershwin type of sense of humor.
But you wouldn't have to do that on a record, would you?
No, not necessarily.
I mean, you could do all sort of torchy ballads.
Yes. So if anybody's got torchy ballads, they can send them for me to the Carlisle Hotel.
Oh, listen.
Because the old songs as well as the new songs, I think, would be very interesting to have a mixture of.
See, that answers my question. I was going to say, what is coming out for new records? And that sounds like that could really be it. You know, that sounds like something that everybody would want.
Yeah, that's in the planning now.
Well, let's think of a song you might do on it that we'll do right now. That you could do. Maybe some more Cole Porter. Who could go wrong with Cole Porter?
Yes.
You'd be so nice to go.
Yes,
home to.
Why not do that? You'd be so... Oh, yes, okay. I think I can remember all the words to that. You know, I've always wondered what it would be like to be sitting around a fireplace, but which I have at home up in Connecticut, in New Milford, Connecticut, as you know. You know, I took a 1773 house, gutted it.
Oh, lovely.
And rebuilt the inside completely. And it's absolutely beautiful house. And of three fireplaces. Except I don't have a man in my life, and I was wondering, if I was to have a man in my life, would he like to come and sit by the fireplace with me in my 1773 house?
And sing one of these, have you sing one of these gorgeous tunes to him?
Oh, yes.
You'd be so nice to come home.
That's
to.
Right.
What a perfect tune.
Let's try that.
Before we do, I must say something, that I've had a perfectly wonderful and exciting time with you this afternoon, Eartha. It really has been a kick. Not talking to you.
Thank you very much.
And getting to play for you, hear you sing. It's just great, and I can't thank you enough.
Thank you. But you made me feel very comfortable, and I'm very grateful for that. So you can call on me anytime.
Great. Now, you heard it. You heard that, folks. So, meanwhile, more Cole Porter. You'd be so nice to come home to.
You'd be so nice to come home to. You'd be so nice by the fire, while the breeze on high sings a lullaby. You'd be all that I could desire, under stars attuned by the winter, under an August moon burning above. You'd be so nice, you'd be paradise to come home to and come home to and love, to come home to and love.
Wow. Well, he's out there listening. He'll be there soon.
Yes. Be sure he has a bank book, though.